بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، so we begin reading from the short and concise yet great and very beneficial text of Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab Al-Tamimi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. He died in the year 1206 after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The matin that he has entitled Nawaqidu Al-Islam, Nawaqidu Al-Islam. We know that this great scholar, this great Imam, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he had great concern for the Ummah in general and for the state of the Muslims and for Ahl Sunnah specifically. And he showed great care and had much effort to clarify the correct creed and Al-Aqidah Al-Salafiyyah. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he would strive hard to write small texts that would be easy for the ummah to comprehend and understand, and it would be in a manner that would be facilitated for them in brief words, summarizing beneficial issues with regards to creed and with regards to the deen. Rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he was given success with regards to this, and the tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would summarize issues, rather from the most important issues of the deen, the issues of at-tawheed specifically, and likewise the issues of ash-shirk. And he would clarify them, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in a manner using the evidences from the Qur'an and from the sunnah and from the statements of the salaf in the most beautiful manner, and the most beautiful etiquettes. And we have seen many of these benefits from the works of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we have benefited likewise from them. And from that is this concise text, which it is found in maybe two, if at the most, three pages, and from the average piece of paper. And is very brief and very concise, yet it contains much benefit. It contains much benefit for the one who ponders over this text and understands this text and learns this text properly. Learns it properly upon the understanding of the ulama of hadith and the ulama that are upright and steadfast, ar-rasikhuna fil ilm. Those great scholars who are holding fast to the understanding of the Salaf, then this text will be great and much benefit for that person, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we want to study this text, and we want to learn this text, and we want to understand this text, and these issues here, the invalidators of Al-Islam, or the nullifiers of Al-Islam, these are from the most dangerous affairs, and in reality there are many. But the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned 10 of the ones that occur most often and that are most important, and that the rest of them they will go back to. And it's very important for a believer to learn these affairs in order to avoid them and stay away from them, and to be upon clarity in the deen. And like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has clarified in the Qur'an, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. Allah, He mentioned in His book, and like this, we clarify the signs, وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ السَّبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and so that the path of the criminals, of the wicked and the disobedient can become clear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has clarified in His book, and likewise it has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the famous hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ, that verily the halal and the permissible is clear, and likewise that which is haram and impermissible is clear, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبَهَاتٌ, and between them there are affairs that are unclear. So we see that the deen has been clarified, walillahi alhamd, and it's upon a believer to learn it. But likewise, that which is impermissible has been clarified as well, and those things that are contrary to the deen likewise have been clarified as well for a believer to be upon clarity, and for an individual to be upon clarity. لِيَهْلَكْ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَا لِيَهْلَكْ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَا وَلِيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَا. So that the one who follows his whims and falls into destruction, it will be upon clarity. And likewise, the one who lives a good life, he will live a good life upon clarity. So the issue here is the invalidators of al-Islam, the invalidators of al-Islam. And these texts of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, the ulama, past and present, have advised to memorize them. Not only to study them and to learn them and to understand them, but to memorize them. And this text here particularly is a great start for a student of knowledge, or for someone who is very interested in seeking knowledge. And this is a great place for them to begin with their memorization, because it is so brief. And it contains much benefit, and there are evidences that are clear, and the statement of the Shaykh is few, rahimahullah ta'ala, but the point is made clear directly from each point, and the text is concise. And the text is concise. And if a believer were to memorize this text, likewise for the students who are studying the Arabic language, it will be likewise a benefit for them to increase in vocabulary, also in understanding how to form sentences in the tarkib al-jumal, and the likes like this. It's beneficial from all aspects, alhamdulillah, with regards to creed and with regards to deen, and also building a foundation in knowledge correctly. Also beneficial for the students learning the Arabic language. They can increase in vocabulary and learning how to form the sentences and the sentence structure and the likes like this. This is very, very beneficial. Very, very beneficial for a Muslim in general to memorize the likes of these texts and to understand them, to be upon clarity in the deen. These affairs here, it's an obligation to learn them. From the affairs that are obligatory to learn, of course, al-Islam. To learn al-Islam, but likewise, it's obligatory to learn shirk and to know that, so that one can stay away from it. And to learn the things that are contrary to Islam, so that one can leave it upon clarity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. It's narrated from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu and collected by Ibn Majah, and it's authentic narration that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, yani whether he's male or female, that it's an obligation upon every Muslim, yani whether they're male or female. So this is from those affairs that's an obligation upon all of us to be aware of and to know. And with regards to this issue here, to avoid and to stay away from. To avoid and to stay away from. So the ulama have shown great care and concern for this particular text. And with all of the texts, in reality, of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, the ulama have shown great care in explaining these texts and clarifying them to the ummah and the likes. And from that, this text here, Nawaqid al-Islam, and we see that there's an explanation by Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise a commentary of his explanation by the great scholar Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he has a very beneficial commentary and explanation of this text, and also from the beautiful explanations and very beneficial explanations that have just been released in book form recently, the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razzaq, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Likewise, Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabari, hafidhahullah, he has an explanation and commentary on this text. And also Sheikh Abdul Rahman Muhideen, also Sheikh Raslan, and also Sheikh Suleiman al-Rahayli, hafidhahum Allahu jami'an. Sheikh Suleiman al-Rahayli, he has an audio version which is very beneficial. Which is very beneficial. Likewise, Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, he has much benefit and works with regards to the clarification of these issues of takfir and the likes like that. And the ulama in general have given much care and concern to clarify these issues, especially yani in recent history, whenever many individuals have went astray and caused much corruption amongst the ranks of the Muslims in general, and spread fasad and corruption in the land and evil, because they have went to extremes with regards to takfir And with regards to misunderstanding these nawaqidh and these invalidators of al-Islam, and they have declared Muslims who are free from these nawaqidh to be disbelievers, and have spread their blood and taken their wealth and caused much fasad and mischief in the land, until even some of them have gone so far to declare the ummah to be an ummah of jahiliyyah, and there are almost no Muslims left, and all of the Muslims are disbelievers, and all of the masajid are upon falsehood, and it's not even an obligation to attend the Jumu'ah. This has been made in recent history, and they have tried to make khuruj, and the ideology of the Khawarij has been revived and established in the hearts of many of the foolish and the ignorant. And this is because of their ignorance of these affairs. So it's very beneficial, Yani, to learn these texts. And we study this text first and foremost to be upon clarity in our deen. And likewise, so that we know them specifically, so that we can avoid them. And also so that we do not transgress the boundaries with regards to them. Because many people, if they misunderstand these invalidators, they may apply them to people who do not deserve them. And before they can be applied to a specific individual, there are conditions that have to be met, and there are requirements that have to be fulfilled. And likewise, there are things that have to be removed, because the ruling in general is based upon here, but the specific ruling and the general ruling is found in the text and the likes like this with regards to disbelief and what causes a person to fall into disbelief. But to apply that to an individual specifically, to a person specifically, this requires for conditions and requirements to be fulfilled. Conditions and requirements to be fulfilled. From the most beneficial texts or the works that have been written with regards to this, any of the clarification and the proper understanding and the foundations and the principles and regulations of takfir and declaring a Muslim to be a disbeliever, is that which has been written by Sheikh Abdul Latif ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan Ali Sheikh, which is the great grandson of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And he has a very beneficial risala and treatise that he has written, rahimahullah ta'ala, called Usulun wa Dawabit fi Takfir, fundamentals and regulations with regards to declaring a Muslim a disbeliever, to making takfir. And the ulama in general, as I mentioned, they have shown great care and concern with this affair. And if you study in the books of fiqh and the fuqaha, they have Bab Ahkam al-Ridda, or Ahkam al-Murtaddin, or Bab al-Ridda, the chapter of leaving al-Islam, and the chapter of the rulings of those who leave the deen, and the likes like this. And there are many rulings related to this issue, and the clarification has come, alhamdulillah, in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah. So these works here that I have mentioned previously, and other than them likewise, there are many other efforts likewise that ulama have made in clarification of these issues, have benefited from them, alhamdulillah, and gathered some of the benefits from the works of the people of knowledge, and summarized these issues, and inshallah we will study them. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these classes beneficial for me and for those who listen, and to grant us understanding in his deen, and to grant us insight in his deen, and to allow us to be upright and steadfast, and to show us the truth as the truth, and to give us success to follow it, and to show us falsehood as falsehood, and to give us success to stay away from it. So because of the importance of this affair, the importance of takfir and declaring people to be disbelievers, and also because of the dangers of this affair and how much it has been spread in these days, and how many Muslims are affected by the creed and the misunderstanding and the misguidance and the shubuhat of the Khawarij of our era, then we will have, before we even begin reading the text precisely, reading the text actually, we will have a few introductions to clarify these issues before we read them, so that we understand the reality of a takfir and the conditions of a takfir, and when these rulings will be applied on a person specifically, and the difference between being described with disbelief, or that an action or statement is described with disbelief, and the difference between applying that to an individual and when that will be and who has the right to do that and the likes. Inshallah, we will have a few introductions before we begin the text discussing these affairs, some of the most important affairs of at-takfir and that which is related to that. But with regards to the first introduction, we see that the author, he has mentioned the title of the text, and that is Nawaqidu al-Islam. Nawaqidu al-Islam. So we begin our introduction discussing the meaning of this title and the words found in this title. Nawaqidu al-Islam. Nawaqidu al-Islam. So we see that this is التركيب الإضافي التركيب الإضافي اسم مضاف مضاف إليه نواقض الإسلام مضاف ومضاف إليه. But the word نواقض, it comes from the verb نقض, or from the مصدر النقض. نقض ينقض أنقض نقضا نقض ينقض أنقض نقضا نقضا من باب نصرة من باب نصرة. So we see نواقض is actually the plural of ناقض of ناقض 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 ونواقض. So ناقض, it is on the scale of فاعل, and the scale of فاعل, if the word is غير عاقل, if the word is غير عاقل, something that is non-intellectual, doesn't have a mind, like an inanimate object, then the plural is on the scale fawa'il, like this. So you say naqid wa nawaqid, like ba'ith wa bawa'ith. Also, if it's on the scale fa'il, a word is on the scale fa'il, and it is feminine, even if it's aqil, then likewise, it's on this, the plural will be on the scale of fawa'il, like sawahib. صواحب يوسف صواحب جمع صاحبة صاحبة وصواحب والمرأة الحامل, the woman who is pregnant, she's called حامل, and the plural is حوامل حوامل على وزن فواعل. So these are some linguistic benefits, and I just mentioned them to encourage the brothers and sisters to show diligence to learn the Arabic language, to learn the Arabic language, to spend money, to spend effort, to spend time, to get tired, to go through hardship, difficulty, to find the beauty of this language, and to learn this language, and to become fluent in this language so that you can understand your deen, so that you can understand your deen, so that you can understand the words of your Lord, so that you can understand the words of your Prophet, so that you can speak to the ulama of your ummah directly and read their benefits and listen to their classes live or their recordings, and you can benefit so much khair that can come bi'idhnillahi ta'ala for the one who learns the Arabic language, becomes fluent and proficient in the Arabic language. So these are some of the benefits that we see from this word nawaqidh. Nawaqidh. But linguistically, it means you like to destroy something, or to corrupt something, or to invalidate something. يعني, so you say نقض فلان البناء أي هدمه. نقض فلان البناء, so-and-so, he tore down the building. He tore it down, or he destroyed the building. So نقض, it means هدم. And you also say نقض فلان الحبل أي حل أي حله. So also to untie something. This word, النقض, it means الحل, to untie something, to undo something, to undo something. Also it's used with reference to contracts or bonds. You say نقض فلان العهد or نقض العقد, that he invalidated the covenant, or he broke the promise, or he broke the bond in this manner like this. So we see النقض linguistically, it means الحل أو الهدم أو الإفساد أو الإبطال, يعني to corrupt something, or to untie it, or to undo it, or to invalidate it, or to nullify it. This word here, it has all of these meanings. All of these meanings. The ulama, they mention فناقض الشيء مبطله ومفسده. So when you see something, it's naqid, الشيء this is called مفسده ومبطله, يعني that which corrupts it and that which invalidates it. يعني linguistically, this is the linguistic meaning. So the singular of نواقض is ناقض, and that means مبطل أو مفسد أو مفسد, to corrupt something or to nullify it or to invalidate it. Something that one must notice with regards to this word is that something cannot be nullified except after it's established, and something cannot be corrupted except after it's upright and good, and something cannot be untied or undone except after it has been tied, and except after the bond has been made, and except after the contract has been established. So therefore, a naqd comes after al-ibram, and it comes after al-aqd wal-ahd, and after something is tied, after the contract is made, after the agreement is set, after the promise is made, after the issue has been established, then something will come and untie that, or undo it, or corrupt it, or nullify it, or invalidate it, or make it void. This thing that comes like that and does that, that's called ناقضون. That's called ناقضون. So النقض يعني هو حل بعد العقد. It's to untie something, and to undo it after it has been established. After it has been established. So this is the linguistic meaning. This is the linguistic meaning. But here we want to talk about the legislative meaning. نعم نواقض الإسلام. نواقض الإسلام. Likewise, it has a similar meaning. And this is from the مصطلحات of the people of knowledge. And the ulama, they have terms and terminology that they use specifically to refer to things and to refer to issues and affairs in the deen. For example, whenever we study in the chapter of al-tahara, likewise we have this word, نواقضوا الوضوء. نواقضوا الوضوء. We have the invalidators of purification or ablution. نواقضوا الوضوء. And likewise, and these are the things that corrupt the wudu, and the things that invalidate the wudu, and the things that break the wudu. They're called nawaqid al-wudu, and they're known. Alhamdulillah. But whenever we go to the chapter of Sawm, we see that the ulama, whenever they speak about the things that invalidate the fast, or they corrupt the fast, they call them mufsidat. Mufsidat al-sawmi. They don't call them نواقض الصوم, even though it's the meaning is the same. But the terminology that the people of knowledge use, they say مفسدات الصوم. مفسدات الصوم. And likewise, whenever they speak about the things that are impermissible in the Hajj, they call them محظورات الحج. And whenever we speak about the issues of Salat, the people of knowledge, they speak about the things that invalidate the prayer, and that corrupt the prayer, and that void or nullify the prayer, they call them مبطلات الصلاة. مبطلات الصلاة. So with regards to wudu, they call it ناقض. And with regards to some, they call it مفسد. And with regards to salat, they call it مبطل. And حاج, likewise, they call it مفسد. 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 So all of these are words referring to that which will invalidate and nullify that particular issue. So here we see نواقض الإسلام. نواقض الإسلام. So going back to that linguistic meaning, we've seen that the ناقض does not come except to something that has been established. So therefore Islam is a contract and a bond and a covenant that is established. It is established in the heart of a believer. الإسلام هو العروة الوثقى. نعم العروة الوثقى, the strongest bond, the strongest handhold. This is the shahada. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. This is the strongest bond and the strongest handhold. This is العروة الوثقى. يعني الإسلام, it is a bond and a contract. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded those before us and likewise us to fulfill our contract and our bond with Him. أوفوا بعهدي, أوفي بعهدكم. Fulfill my contract and I will fulfill my contract with you, or fulfill my covenant and I will fulfill my covenant with you. Yani worship Him alone in a manner He has prescribed, and He will reward you and grant you paradise. نعم, and He will grant you paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. Oh, you who believe, fulfill your covenants and your contracts. So this is something that is established. In the contract, it must be established. And likewise, one must remain truthful with regards to that. One must remain truthful with regards to that. Yani with regards to fulfilling and upholding the contract and the covenant, the greatest covenant is the covenant of Al-Islam. But the issue here is that it can be invalidated. It can be invalidated. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned the attributes of the fasiqeen, whenever He mentioned the attributes of the rebellious and the wicked, He described them with this attribute, that they are people who invalidate their contracts. أَلَذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِثَاقِهِ. Those who invalidate the contract and the covenant with Allah after it has been established. After it has been established. حِيَاذٍ بِاللَّهِ. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has warned us and mentioned about the previous nations. And He mentioned about the Jews specifically. فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. That because of the fact that they invalidated their contract, then we cursed them. And we made their hearts hard. And we made their hearts hard. So this is the outcome of those who invalidate the contract of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the covenant. Those who fall into hadihi al-nawaqid, these invalidators and nullifiers of al-Islam. So it's incumbent for a believer to avoid them and stay away from them. For a believer to avoid them and stay away from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book in Surah An-Nahl, He says, أَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And fulfill the covenant of Allah, meaning the pledge for Islam, when you have made the covenant, and do not break the oaths after you have confirmed them. And indeed you have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the trustee of your affair and the disposer of your affair. Verily Allah, He knows what you do. And then likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the next verse, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَ. And do not be like her who undoes the thread. Who undoes, yani unties the thread which she has spun after it has become strong. Yani in reference to this word, naql, is being used in both of these verses. The first one with regards to validating the covenant of Allah, and Allah prohibited that. لا تنقضوا الأيمان. And do بعد توكيدها, and do not break the oaths after you have confirmed them and established them. And the greatest oath is the oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you testify and bear witness that He is the only one that's worthy of worship. Meaning you testify and bear witness that you will not worship anyone except for Him. And the oath that you testify and bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that you will believe in Him and believe what He says. And that you will follow Him and obey Him and comply to His commandments. And that you will not worship Allah except in the manner that has come by in His sunnah salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. This is the greatest. The greatest Amen, and the greatest Ahd, and the greatest covenant and contract. وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made an example of this. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثَ. And do not be like the woman who unties her thread, you know, the woman who sews something tight and she makes her cloth, that which she is strong, and the clothing strong by thread and needle. And then after it's strong, and after the garment is good, she will go and untie it and undo the thread. Do not be like this. Do not be like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book. And like this, the similar meaning has been narrated from Umar radiallahu anhu, that he said, tunqadu ura islami urwatan urwa idha nasha'a fil islami man lam ya'rif al jahiliyyah. That tunqadu ura islam, that the bonds of Islam, they will be undone. Bond by bond, any little by little, bond by bond. If there are people who will come up in Islam and they'll be raised in Islam and they have no clue about Jahiliyyah, they did not know anything about the ways of ignorance. And again, an indication of the importance of learning the ways of falsehood. So we see that this terminology actually is even known from the Sahaba, yani naqd, tunqad urwa al-Islam, that the bonds of Islam, they will be untied, they will be undone, they will be invalidated, urwatan urwa, bond after bond. And so this terminology that the author he is using, this is terminology that is known even to the Sahaba, and is definitely known to the people of knowledge. And he's upon the path of the people of Hadith, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with regards to that. Rahimahullahu ta'ala. And likewise, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described the believers, and he, from the description of the believers, is that they are people who do not break their promise, rather they fulfill their trust and they fulfill their covenants. And he, from the greatest attributes of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ, those who maintain and observe their trust and their covenants and fulfill them. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ, and those who stand firm with regards to their testimonies. And the greatest testimony and the greatest covenant and the greatest contract is that with that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the aqeedah to tawheed, which is found in the shahadatain, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. So we see that this is the linguistic meaning of nawaqid, and likewise the legislative meaning of an-nawaqidh. But the author, he says, nawaqidhu al-Islam. Nawaqidhu al-Islam. And so we see from that which has preceded, yani the mubtilatuhu wa mufsidatuhu wa ma tahdimuhu min aslihi, nas'al Allah al-afi wa salama, that what is intended here are the things that will nullify and invalidate and corrupt and wipe out the Islam from yani in entirety. Because there are things in Islam that will bring deficiency to the Islam, or deficiency to the shahada or to the tawheed, and there are things that will wipe it out entirely. This is the discussion here. Those affairs that will invalidate and nullify and wipe out and corrupt the deen from its foundation. Nas'alullah al-afiyah wa salama. We see likewise the author, he says, nawaqidhu al-Islam, yani the invalidators of al-Islam. Walillah alhamd, we have seen previously the definition of al-Islam, and that it is al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This has preceded alhamdulillah in the classes of al-usul al-thalatha, and many of the students alhamdulillah, they have memorized this definition. Many of the brothers and sisters have memorized this definition. Walillah alhamd, al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. So this is what is being invalidated here. And these affairs here, they invalidate this Islam, which is al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. Al-istislam, yani to surrender. The one who does not surrender, then this one, he is arrogant and he is proud. And he's called mustakbar, al-mustakbar. Naam, or al-mustakbir. Naam, al-mustakbir. And this is the attribute of Iblis, ayyadhan billah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about him, Iblis aba wa stakbar wa kana min al-kafirin, that he refused to submit to Allah and to surrender him to him, so he was from the disbelievers. So whoever did not make al-istislami lillahi bit-tawheed, or al-istislamu lillah, fahuwa mustakbir, that he is somebody who is arrogant and he has rejected and refused the truth and refused to surrender. As for somebody who has surrendered to Allah and to other than Allah, then this one is considered mushrik. مَنْ اسْتَسْلَمَ لِلَّهِ وَلِغَيْرِهِ فَهُوَ مُشْرِكِ وَمَنْ أَبَى أَنْ يَسْتَسْلَمْ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ مُسْتَكْبِرِ وَلَذِي يَسْتَسْلَمَ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ فَهُوَ مُسْلِمٌ مُوَحِّدٌ. And as for the one who surrendered to Allah alone, then he is a Muslim and mu'min, a believer, and he is the person of monotheism. And he is a person of monotheism. So here, نواقض الإسلام, this is the issue here. الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة. But it's not sufficient only to have this tawheed in the heart, but rather there must be action as well. والانقياد له بالطاعة, and to comply to him with obedience. And this means that one must perform the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions. That one must perform the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions. And to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what this means. But likewise, it includes the obedience to those whom Allah has commanded to obey. And from that, the obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to obey those who have authority over us and that which is permissible. And likewise, our parents as well and that which is permissible. So to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to comply to His commandments and stay away from His prohibitions. And likewise, to obey those whom Allah has commanded us to obey, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheedi wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. This part here is so very important. And to be free from shirk and its people. and to be free from shirk and its people. So in order to be safe from these nawaqib and these invalidators and nullifiers of Islam, one has to fulfill that which has preceded by submitting to Allah alone with tawheed, yani with tawheed, yani ifradullahi bil ibadah, to worship Allah alone and no one else, to sing out alone for worship, and likewise to comply to him in obedience. But this is not enough. Rather, likewise, one must free himself from shirk and disbelief. And he must declare the disbelievers to be disbelievers. And he must believe that they're upon falsehood. And to stay away from these nullifiers, this means that one must fulfill this portion here, al-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahli, to be free from shirk and its people. To be free from shirk and its people, if a person truly is free from them and from their way, then he will be, inshallah, far from these invalidators and from these affairs that nullify and break the contract and the bond of al-Islam. So we see nawaqib al-Islam and the reality of al-Islam, it is to establish two main affairs, and that is imanun wa kufrun. So there must be imanun billah wa kufrun bit-taghut. وَكُفْرٌ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. And this has preceded, yani, the definition of al-Islam and the clarification of al-Islam. And that one must believe in Allah alone and disbelieve in everything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the issue with regards to the title that the author has mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, نَوَاقِضُ al-Islam. نَوَاقِضُ al-Islam, the invalidators of al-Islam and the nullifiers of al-Islam. And bi-ithni lahi ta'ala, in our next class we will have another brief commentary about some of the important conditions of takfir and the statements of the ulama with regards to the affair of declaring Muslims to be disbelievers and when that is permissible and what are the regulations with regards to that, so that whenever we study these texts we do not begin to apply them in a manner that is not proper nor correct. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.